Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Michelle Berkowitz, your host this morning, and I want to welcome our leading lady this morning who we have on the radio with us, which is Jennifer Crittenden, who is the book author of, really, frankly, an awesome book called The Discreet Guide for Executive Women. So, Jennifer, welcome this morning.
Thank you.
I'm excited to have you on the show because today our title of our radio show, which I pulled from your book, and I actually read your book, and I was like, I wish I would have had this book when I was in corporate America and banking. You know, I got one of those books that was on how to dress for success, but nobody ever tells you how to act for success, and I think that's what your book does. Would you agree?
I would absolutely agree, and that's an excellent point, Michelle. We focus so much on appearance, sometimes we forget to talk about what I call the touchy subjects, and definitely your topic title this morning is about touchy subjects.
Well, and I want to talk on that title because to me it was like, oh my gosh, talk about segmenting, you know, the male counterparts in business. And our topic this morning as a title, I really wanted to dig down into a little bit, is how to identify gentlemen, bullies, liars, and predators. And that's quite the gamut of workplace folks. I call them characters, you know, whether they're men or women, we all deal with characters in business. But tell me, I mean, I think everybody always wants to know from a book author, I mean, how did you come up with the idea of your book? I'm curious, because you came from corporate America, you know, you were in accounting, correct? You were a CFO?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so like you know, I felt as though there was a lack of books where we talk forthrightly about some of the biggest challenges that women face in the workplace, you know, having to do with being bullied or having mm-hmm. someone come on to you sexually. How do you behave when you're traveling? You know, these are really difficult topics for people to address in the workplace, but somehow we need to talk about them.
Well, and for you, did you kind of go back to your background and look for examples of what you experienced, or how did you come up with some of the, you know, pieces of advice from your book? What was it that you pulled, and how did you, you know, research for your book?
Yeah, certainly a lot of it was my observations when I was in corporate America or even out in the world. You know, when I'm working with my clients now, I'm surprised that these issues are still coming up, even with women who are fairly mature. Somehow we've been mm-hmm. socialized not to go up against guys and not to address some of these issues in a straightforward way. So I felt like,
well,
you know, somebody needs to write this book, and I guess it's going to have to be me.
There you go. Isn't that the true entrepreneur? Like, you're like, you know, somebody's got to put this message on paper. It is. And I do find that you've got just wonderful quips and, you know, kind of like suggestions and things like that. But, you know, I want to kind of say out of disclosure, because you and I are in San Diego, California, and, boy, we're just coming off of a crazy summer of hearing about, you know, our mayor of San Diego, who did some, in my opinion, I will just say, even as a host, I can say some stupid things around women. You know, when we're looking at, you know, gentlemen versus bullies versus the liars and predators, I mean, how do you, I guess, across the board, what is it that you kind of suggested? How do you identify them? I mean, and what's the difference between them? I mean, I think you know the answer of what they are, but how do you identify the difference from your book? It's like, how does a woman go about looking for, I'm hoping, find more gentlemen than she does with bullies, liars, and predators?
Right. It has been quite an experience to watch this all happen in the San Diego media with our mayor. And I think overarching, the biggest suggestion that I would make is stick up for yourself. I'm surprised mm-hmm. sometimes when I hear stories from women and I think, well, just knock his hand away. I mean, make it clear to him that that is inappropriate behavior and you don't like it. because these behaviors do tend to escalate, at least on the sexual side of it. You know, most of the men that, that I encountered in the workplace were gentlemen. And, you know, we hate to compartmentalize people, but sometimes it is helpful to kind of classify people in a certain way because it helps you bring up the correct defense mechanisms to cope with them. So most guys are, you know, part gentleman, part bully, part this, you know, we're complicated creatures, and so we can't just put people in a box. But most guys, you know, are on your side. They want you to be successful. They are looking out for you. A lot of American guys have been socialized to protect women, and often that's a wonderful thing, but sometimes that can work against you a little bit too if they're hesitant to give you feedback, for example, or don't want to tell you things because they're afraid you're going to cry. So when you're dealing with gentlemen, sometimes you have to make it safe for them to be a real colleague with you and a real teammate to you. When it comes
to
life...
No, back up on the gentleman thing, because, you know, I find a lot of men, and I know we're going to hop around because that's just the way I roll, forgive me, but, you know, I find with a lot of men in the workplace, it's like they're as fearful of how to step among women. You know, I mean, they don't know, women today are different in the workplace, so I find men just as fearful, maybe not women aren't fearful, but I know men are, that they won't say that, privately they will, but like, I just, you know, they're fearful to, you know, touch a woman, of course, for obvious reasons. They're fearful to say something that might resonate the wrong way with the woman. So how does your, you know, from the consulting you do, because I know you do consulting on this, if you're dealing with a gentleman and they're, you know, maybe not being real with you, how would a woman, you know, kind of handle that? Because I see that a lot, that men just, they're trepidatious in how they handle women sometimes in the business world, which can hurt a woman in business.
Yes, no, I think that's really true. And so it's, you know, that's where you get this effect of women in a binder because they're not really colleagues. You know, they don't have an informal relationship with you, so they won't drop by your office, they won't call you on the phone. And that can really hurt you in the business world because we need connections. So, like I said, we somehow have to make it safe for them. And the easiest way to do them is to have them get to know you informally. So I encourage women to socialize with their male colleagues, go to baseball games, play golf with them, but hang out with them, you know, do what they do so that they can get to know you as a person. And then they start to relax more. They realize, you know, you're not a lawsuit waiting to happen. You know, you don't mind if you get a hug or, you know, they become more comfortable with you and they grow to like you, which is also important for being promoted and having opportunities come your way.
So how does a woman do that, Jennifer? So as an example for what, you know, kind of you're sharing, if you're a woman and let's say you have a colleague that you wish, okay, gosh, I feel like I need to, you know, interact with this person, or if even if it's upper management, does a woman invite a man out for golf? I mean, what, or do you invite a man out for a cocktail? I mean, what would be the protocol that you would think would be a first step, knowing that you want to get to know somebody a little bit more, you know, more strategically in the workplace?
Yeah, I'd start slow, you know, because I think it's easy to send a mixed message. A lot of times guys haven't had the experience of having a professional relationship with a woman, so they tend to think of you as, you know, the mother, the daughter, the wife, the girlfriend, and none of those are appropriate. You know, you want to have a professional relationship. So I'd start off slow, you know, just drop by his office, be friendly, talk about things that he's interested in but that are also work-related. I think as you become a good listener and you have information to share, you become a valuable colleague because you know things, and that can be quite helpful to him politically. So becoming useful is a great way to, you know, gain prestige in his eyes and make him want to hang out with you too. And then if, you know, he suggests that you go for lunch, that's fine. You know, going up to someone and asking them out for a cocktail could probably send a wrong message. But eventually it certainly would be fine to go out for a cocktail. I would often drink lemonade in those situations, partly because I wanted to send a message that we're not out drinking together, that this is a professional event that we're at.
Well, and do you find that people, I mean, should not drink? I mean, as an example, you know, I do understand you're saying that might be a mixed message, but I also know, at least, you know, through some of the relationships I have, that it's like, you know, male colleagues will say, let's go with guys, okay, let's go have a beer. I think, you know, for a woman, what I learned was it's like, hey, you know, how about a cocktail for happy hour? And that seems to be okay. You know, it's just
kind of like
just happy hour, but not beyond that.
No, I agree. And, you know, if the guys all go out for a beer, it's great to go out and have a beer, too. If you're one-on-one, it's, you know, that's where you have to be a little bit more careful. Also, because that's often when things start to go wrong. So when guys are drinking, that's sometimes where you start to see another side of him come out, and you don't want to encourage that side of him. Because guys can get confused when they're drinking. But no, I think it's absolutely fine. There's no reason that you have to be a teetotaler all the time. And it's fun for them too, right?
I'm picturing the lemonade going, that's just not in my nature. But I know it's very much a minefield. You know, you got to be really careful to not, you know, pass on those things. I mean, maybe, you know, would you recommend for a woman that just to kind of like, let me segue. Because I know one of the things that I used to do, and I'm putting out probably more than I should here on the radio, is when I was in the commercial banking, it's like I used to, and this was by a colleague of mine, a friend, a woman that I very much respected. She had said to me, you know, Michelle, on about a couple times a week, she goes, just walk the upper management, you know, level. She goes, go up there, and it's like, and I'm like, well, what do I do? And she said, well, act like you're going somewhere, have a folder in your hand or something. I mean, this was like so contrived, Jennifer, but I'll tell you what, this is what it did for me, is that I literally took her advice, and it's like I would walk the upper management hallway, which were all the offices of the senior management team in banking, and I was visible. And it's like they would say good morning or good afternoon, and I would see, you know, at that time it was the secretaries of the, you know, executive vice presidents and the senior management team. But they, you know, sometimes were hanging out in the hallway, and I would say good morning, and I'd be acting as if I was heading somewhere, but I had nothing. I had nothing in the folder. I had no reason for being up there. But yet, what was fascinating to me was when we had things go on in the bank, it's like all of a sudden I got visibility from that, and I got noticed, and I started getting asked to do things that normally wouldn't have been something I would have been asked to do in a good way, meaning that it's like I got projects, I started getting training that it's like I never expected. So is that, you know, am I just crazy or was that really a good step? Because in my mind, it was fascinating, and it was by accident that I learned how to do that.
Right. No, that's excellent advice that she gave you, and good for you for picking up on it and not being too self-conscious to do that. Being visible is huge. I mean, it's huge in the business world, you know, from networking and at all levels, corporate America, entrepreneurship. You really have to get out there and mix it up because that's how you build relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, that's great advice, and I absolutely agree that, you know, we have a tendency, I think, when it's an all-male group, to feel as though we stick out and that we're different, and so we shouldn't, you know, mix it up. And just the opposite is true.
Well, I know I want to stick with our topic, which is, you know, we still have bullies, we have liars, and we have predators. And I think those three, it's like scare the living, you know, what out of me when I think about it. But, you know, how do you identify a bully? I mean, I think I can visualize it, but what might a bully do in the workplace that a woman can identify, especially if they're an executive woman? I mean, I think when you first start in your career, you know, everybody is kind of a bully because you got to earn your stripes. But what should a woman look for in an executive role with the bully position?
Right. There's a distinction that we need to make between men who yell and bullies, because a lot of guys yell. That's a pretty common behavior when guys are under stress. And again, I'm making a terrible generalization here, but that was my observation, that a lot of guys yell. But that doesn't make him a bully. A bully is someone who consistently tries to shut you down. And you have to deal with him because he is keeping you from doing your job, whether it's, you know, in the corporate world or outside of the corporate world. You have to get this person to make enough room for you to be successful in what you're trying to accomplish. So bullies are very difficult because they are often intimidating people. They've learned that a way to get their way is by intimidating somebody else, either yelling or consistently shutting them down or demeaning people. And a lot of guys will pick on a woman if she's kind of a loner in the group because he thinks she's an easy target. And so a lot of women will discover that they're being bullied by someone that does not bully anybody else.
Can you give me a scenario of how a bully relationship might? I mean, we've had a conversation, at least in our group, in Connected Women of Influence, of workplace bullies. But what might, give me a scenario of where it might be that someone is a bully. I'm kind of curious how you see that. What would be the scenario? Because you said it's hard to see.
Well, I think it might be hard for others to see, but usually the woman is aware that for some reason this person is picking on her. So we had an example in our factory where there were a bunch of guys on the production line and one woman. And one of the guys, so she was fairly new, one of the guys who had previously not demonstrated that kind of vicious behavior just started picking on her. Everything she did, he was all over her for. He was an older guy, you know, it was, like I say, kind of strange that this came out, but I think he was somewhat intimidated by his coworkers. But when a woman showed up, he thought, okay, this is an opportunity for me to flaunt my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we really had to work with her to get her to cope with him. I mean, obviously, HR was dealing with him too, but we also needed her to stand up for herself. And she wasn't accustomed to that, you know. She hadn't anticipated that she was going to have to ever deal with someone and tell him to stop that. And so, you know, it was a surprising development. But it's not that uncommon. I think, you know, my experience, I'm not a psychologist, but a lot of these bullies are fairly insecure people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people who are troubled out there. And so they turn to bullying as a way to make themselves feel better.
Well, and I know there's the extreme, but I also know, at least, again, you know, we all have our experiences of working, you know, if we've worked in corporate America, I do know that it's like, you know, that quote-unquote good old boys club. It's like sometimes I've, at least in women's interactions I've had in business, it's interesting that when I hear a woman talking about, oh, this person's just a bully, it's like sometimes it's kind of like, well, is it really a bully? I mean, I know there's the extreme cases. I know there's the, it's a horrible thing. But I also know that sometimes it's like men through teasing and through kind of like, you know, doing, let's just say, jovial kinds of getting you on board with a company. That's kind of how men build relationships, is they tease, they jockey, they, you know, do funny things. But I do know that that can be misconstrued. I mean, how would a woman identify the differences from your perspective? Because, you know, to me, it was like, man, I put up with a lot in corporate banking. I mean, we're talking stuff that I was like, really, I have to hear this? But that's what I would say. I'd be like, oh, my God, do I really have to hear this? And they'd laugh, you know, and then we'd move on. But, you know, some of it was almost kind of like quasi-offensive. And I think, yeah, you know, that was just kind of the onboarding I needed to do to kind of, you know, deal with these dudes.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. There's a lot of sort of hazing that goes on. And in a way, you know, you kind of welcome it because that in some cases that is how guys show you that they like you and that you are part of the group. Is, you know, they kid you and you get to kid back. That's mm-hmm. not bullying. And for some reason, this word bully has become very common recently. It's almost as though if you say anything to anybody, it's a bully. You know, you're being a bully.
Yeah.
So that's not what I would consider a bully. A bully is when someone is consistently trying to keep you from doing your job. They really have you in their radar, and they're trying to corner you and keep you in a corner constantly. So you have a very difficult time speaking up in meetings. They're constantly on top of your comments in meetings. You know, they're just, every time you turn around, there he is in your way. So, you know, I think you can identify someone that way because it's very obvious that they're hindering you.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point. And I do think you're right. It's like, man, it is such a common word, and for obvious reasons. I mean, you know, bullies in school and bullies in the workplace, but, you know, what identifies? It's like sexual harassment as well. It's like, gosh, I mean, women, our radars are up. It's like men, they're fearful. So I get that the bully thing is a big, big thing, and it's like there's lots of variations under it. How about liars? I mean, I personally have experienced liars in business, and I was kind of curious, it's like, how do you identify and how does a woman at an executive level deal with liars in the workplace?
Yeah, I put liars in different categories. I call some of the liars are really just telling what I call fish stories, because there's a lot of lying in business. There's just a lot of self-promotion and grandiose claims that are made. You know, someone will say he sold his company for $40 million and he just didn't. Or he'll say he spearheaded some big project and he didn't. You know,
people
tell stories and they're just patently untrue. But those, you know, and there's so much of it after a while, you're just sort of amazed that, gee, I thought people were mostly truthful. But somehow, particularly in negotiations, people tell lies, which is a terrible time to be telling lies because, you know, that's a dynamic that's built on trust and good faith on both sides. So it's really very damaging when people lie during the negotiation process, but it's incredibly common. But
how does an executive woman deal with somebody that you've identified that, I mean, how would it impact your work? I mean, I'm looking at it and going, man, flat out lies are really tough to respond to or tough to, because then you're trying to prove that somebody else is lying, or is that the scenario you're talking about?
Right. I would just ignore those and put those in the category of fish stories. And, you know, a lot of guys seem to feel comfortable telling things that aren't true, and it's not that big of a deal. There are liars, though, that are a big deal. And those are people who lie to you, and there are women who do this too, deliberately in order to manipulate you. So, for example, if your boss tells you that no one in the group got a raise that year, but then you find out later that somebody did, or if somebody tells you that the board of directors didn't agree to your promotion, and then you find out later that it was actually he who recommended that you not be promoted, you know, that's someone who is taking the relationship and twisting it, because he's being untruthful to you in order to manipulate you. That is a bad guy. And that guy you need to identify as a liar and never believe anything he says again, because that kind of lying is really vicious. And you need to watch out for guys like that.
And guys like that, what if that guy is your direct, you know, supervisor or manager or executive level, you know, EVP, and you're the vice president? How do you deal? What would you suggest a woman do in that scenario if you flat out find out, you know, that you're not being paid as much as other people? I mean, that's a whole different negotiation tactic, I would think. So what would you recommend if you find out, hey, man, you lied to me?
Yeah. You know, it depends on the relationship and all of these things. It's fairly complicated. But if there's a way to bring it up, I wouldn't necessarily say to him, you lied to me. You know, people do react negatively to that word. But somehow if you can subtly let him know that you know the truth to be otherwise, sometimes that can be pretty effective. And sometimes at that point he will acknowledge that he wasn't as – he'll say funny things like, I wasn't as open with you as I wanted to be. Or, you know, he'll start twisting it around a little bit to make it sound like he didn't really lie to you. But the important thing is to recognize that he's a guy who's willing to lie to you. And usually liars lie. You know, they have that – they don't have the compunction that most of us have not to do that. They don't have that inner drive to tell the truth. So that's
and I agree with you, because I do think it's really tough. I mean, like I you know, again, just to get from the consulting and the training I've done, but more, you know, on communication and that kind of thing. It's all about, it's like how you handle once you find out the information. So I think, you know, what's so great about your book is it makes you kind of red alert for situations where you're like, oh man, that's holding me back, you know, and you want to move ahead in business and navigate some of these different things. But it's the how, it's not the what you say, it's the how you say it, you know, because once you identify a liar, I totally agree, you know, that's going to hurt you.
What? Yes, that's right. I mean, they're not playing fair. That's not a square deal. So it's important to recognize that that person is not on your side.
Yep, and I think it's how you, again, bringing it up, that maybe you can't. You gotta let people save face, but you still know in your head that they're a liar. You're not going to trust them ever anymore, ever again. So that's a tough one. And I think this title, Predators, that one would be a tough one, because in that case, man, you're really dealing with somebody that's you know, got a hidden agenda. So how do I think it's pretty, I don't know, is it that clear on how to identify a predator? Because it's like I would think, I see sleazy is what I think when I think of a predator. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
You know, I'm not so sure. I was really pretty surprised at some of the women who were taken in by guys that we worked with. A lot of times a predator is a pretty smooth character. He can be really charming, a likable person, smart. I mean, he didn't get to be where he is by, you know, being a real jerk. Although, honestly, our situation with our mayor sort of raises a question about that because he wasn't a smooth operator. So maybe they come in, you know, various sizes and shapes. But I did find that some of the women would be taken in by these men because they thought maybe he'd change now or they would change him or, you know, they were just blinded by, and so they'd think, oh, that's just his reputation, but that's not really him. So, you know, those were sad stories because she was being taken advantage of and, you know, he did pass through her as he had passed through other women. And she felt
right.
Very, you know, these women often feel very duped when that relationship is over.
Tough one. So tell me this, what were you kind of, I mean, when you wrote your book, it's like, what was the goal? You know, what was the goal in writing the Discreet Guide for Executive Women? It's a tongue twister. I mean, when you came up with it, what were you hoping, you know, would change? It's like people would embrace and say, hey, this is now a new way to do business? Or what? I'm curious.
Well, as I was rising in my career, I noticed that the guys would complain to me about my other female colleagues. And there were mostly men that I worked with, but there were female colleagues at the more junior levels. And they would complain to me about them. You know, she won't hang out with us. She's uptight. You know, she's no fun to work with. And I felt that these were all things that she could be taught. But you know, there was a separation between the genders at work, and so she wasn't crossing that line, so to speak, and coming over to their side. Then by the time I got to be a CFO, I looked around and all those women were gone. They had all dropped out. And that was a real disappointment because they were ambitious, well-educated, interesting women, and we'd really lost out by having those women all go off and do something else. And I felt as though, you know, these are topics that we can talk about. Sometimes women would make mistakes. You know, they would drink too much at a sales conference and, you know, end up in a relationship with someone that did not serve her career. Sometimes it was as simple as just not networking with the guys. Some women didn't know how to take feedback. Some women hadn't learned how to negotiate with guys. But I felt like these are all teachable skills. Why aren't there more books that talk about those type of tactics instead of what we're supposed to look like at work? So that was my biggest...
You're right. It is. To me, it's genius because it's like literally, I mean, I was serious when I said, this was back in the, okay, I'm going to date myself, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, that it was like how to look good but not how to act, you know, act as if. And I still remember... to this day, I know we only have a couple of minutes, it's like, I remember one of my mentors saying to me, it's like, Michelle, this is how you handle yourself in a board meeting. You know, I was on a nonprofit board for banking, and it's like, oh my God, it was just fascinating to see the difference between advice. And unfortunately, it was like how to act not like a woman. That really was the rule book of how I was brought up in banking. And it's, you know, I know there's a lot of controversy over should we act like a woman or should we act like a man? What's your opinion on that one as a final question?
I think we should act like ourselves. And that's, you know, that's the important thing is to be authentic. There are a lot of books out there now about leadership, but sometimes the advice is not as tactical as it needs to be, really matter of fact. You've gotten some great advice, Michelle.
I did, and that's like I thank my lucky stars because I do know that's one of the reasons. I mean, many things, but I will say it's like I had the lucky thing. I can't think of a woman that was as much a mentor to me as one particular gentleman in banking that just gave me, I mean, literally just very frank advice, and he had no reason to other than it's like he was just a very nice man who was at a very senior level position and said, this is what you got to do. So I thank my lucky stars for that. So.
He was a real gentleman.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I think your book is fascinating. And if people want to buy your book or reach out to you? Because I know you do consulting as well, Jennifer. It's like, what? How would somebody reach you? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
So my website is discreetguide.com, and there's all my contact information there. There are places where they can buy the book or just get in touch. I'd love to hear from your listeners.
Well, I think you keep track of stories, right? Don't you also track stories? Your website has some great scenarios on there.
It does. I love to hear from other women and what their experiences were, some good and some bad.
And that's called business, right? That's the world of business. Well, folks, it's like you need, if you're a woman, and especially for those of our listeners that are not in San Diego, California, because I know you're well-known here in San Diego, Jennifer, and you travel around and you talk on your book subject, because I've heard people talk about it, and it's all good things. Folks, get the Discreet Guide for Executive Women. I believe it's on Amazon, too, correct?
Yep, uh-huh, it's on Kindle
and
Amazon. There's an audio version.
It's a great book, and it's really a straight talk about tough issues. So with that, I want to say thank you for being with us. Thank you for being our leading lady this morning. And to our listeners, you know we'll be back here again next Monday for Women Leading the Way Radio. And all I'm going to say is have an absolutely fabulous week, because as of tomorrow, we are in the final quarter of 2013. Amazing how fast the year has gone. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye, thank you.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.